Welcome everybody again. Yeah, Bible study is not my, might say my cup of tea, but we will make an attempt today at looking at a subject. Does anybody remember what I said we would want to look at today? Last Sunday, they asked me to have a Bible study, and there was something that I had looked at in the past that I had thought maybe would be good to study, and I mentioned a scripture that we'd want to look at, but as I looked at the subject, I changed my scripture verse. Or not my scripture, I'll keep the one verse, but does anybody know what we had in what I said? Does anybody remember what the subject? James 2, what was the subject? Partiality. Yeah. You know, I think there's nobody here that's exempt. That runs very deep within our bloodstream, within our heart. James 2. I'll just read the first verse there. It says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." So basically what he's saying there, I think, is as you live your life for Jesus, as you walk your walk of faith, don't show partiality. And then he goes on and he gives a scenario of people moving and living among him and how the church at that time or how individuals at that time responded to one another. But I thought for this morning, what does partiality really mean? Let's have some words, some definitions of what partiality really means. Is the mic out? You have it there. Can somebody give me a definition of partiality? Ron has one here. Racism? It could be. Oh, my spelling comes in gear, huh? Sometimes when other people spell, I know how to write it, but when I do, it's not that easy. Racism, yes, that could be one. Any others? Joyce has one there.
Not complete or whole.
Not complete or whole. Incomplete. Any other thoughts? Partiality would actually be coming from the word of partial. Descriptions from the dictionary would be incomplete or part of it, just partial, incomplete payment, or basically it's a part of the truth, part of the matter. And what it is, it's incomplete, yes. That's but because reason we sometimes choose to be impartial or to show partiality is because we don't want to see the complete truth. There's something about something that hurts us, we don't want to see it, or there's something about something that's good that we don't want to see the bad part. And we live in denial. And that's how we, I think as we look into this verse, I think it's good to remember what is partiality really. I had asked last Sunday. I said mentioned this verse in James, and I said, let's put a little thought into why we are partial. Why do we choose sometimes to be partial in our lives? Has anybody put any thought into that? And anything they want to share. And I want to make it very clear that as I looked at this week, I'm not exempt from being very, very partial. I pray God would do a deeper work in my life because as I looked at it and I looked at different things, you know, I pass judgment many times when I should not. And I don't see things that I should see sometimes because I don't want to see it. Anybody have a thought why we sometimes choose to be partial?
James here, in James 2, it talks about partiality because of, or showing partiality because somebody has a bigger pocketbook. In general, or sometimes when we show partiality, it's because of, or for personal benefit or personal gain.
Very true. Any other thoughts? Ron, do you have one? Maybe. Let's have the maybe then.
Well, I was just thinking about myself. I was thinking about the grace of God. Sometimes I'm partial. I don't know, maybe this is wrong, but I'm not sure if I got this right, what you're thinking, but sometimes we're partial to the grace of God in somebody's life because what that person has received from God through their humility proves that we could have more, but we don't get it because of our unbelief or our faithlessness. And so we try to make statements or, you know, we become partial and say, well, you know, it's for him or whatever, because we just want to accept the fact that God has given to him because of his faith. I don't know if that's partiality or not, but sometimes we just separate the children of God into different camps because we just, like you said, we just don't want to see. And now I'm going to start rambling here, but that's okay.
Could that be because looking at that individual, seeing his faith toward God, seeing what God is actually doing for, seeing that, and then contemplating upon my own life, that causes me pain. Therefore, I don't like to see it, and I won't see it. I was thinking this morning, let's simply put down pain, and also maybe ego booster. Makes us feel good. And I thought, I don't know, this maybe isn't a very good Bible study, but as I looked at it, my verses just disappeared, and I thought, let's look at what it really is and maybe go from there. You know, as we see, maybe nobody else struggles with this, but that's who I am. As I look at people, you know, somebody has caused us pain in life. As we think about our life, somebody that has caused us a lot of pain, there's things we think about him, right? And then there's somebody else that makes us feel good. There's another way we look at that person. This one here, with the pain, we usually struggle with a lot of bitterness. And the other one, but I thought this morning, just so we can, just as we search our own hearts and how does this actually work? I thought let's make a list. Let's give this person that I have pain on, or the guy that makes us feel good, let's give him a name. Let's give him a real name, and I just want the name to come out of the crowd. Somebody can just any name. We want to give him a name. We want to give him features like what color of hair, what weight, what height. Want to give a little character. Does he have an accent? What clothing does he wear? Maybe it's just as simple as what vehicle he drives. Let's make a list of the two different ones, and then let's come back to the scriptures of we should not do this. And as we think about, as we meet people, and as they remind us of that, how do we relate? Do those memories affect us? So let's have a name for pain. Just, it can be Joe Blow, but let's just have a name. Pardon? Bob. Okay. What color hair does Bob have? Let's give him a color of hair.
Red.
Red? Okay, Bob has red hair. How tall is Bob?
5 feet 11 inches.
5 feet 11 inches. So he has red hair. He's 5 feet 11 inches. What does he weigh? Remember, this is the guy that caused you pain, right? <laughs> 220 pounds. And just the way he does things. Just give me a character trait of this Bob. He's caused you pain. Walks with a swagger. Does he have an accent? Any accent? What's that like? American accident. Thanks, Jared. A piece of clothing that he wears. Bob, he has red hair, 5 foot 11, 220 pounds, walks with a swagger, American accent. What distinct clothes does he wear? Just anything. Just a distinct clothes that would fit this Bob. You've got one, Ronnie. Very refined. Okay, that's good. Suit and tie. Okay, and one more thing. What kind of vehicle would he drive? I hope I'm not supposed to be done yet, but what kind of vehicle does he drive? You said Honda. Oh, Hummer. Okay, Hummer. But you know what? This is the guy that causes you pain, right? The guy that caused you a lot of pain in life, wears a suit and tie, drives a Hummer. Huh? Okay. Okay. Now the guy that makes us feel good. Let's give him a name. He can't be Bob. You know what? As I went into this, I thought, what if somebody dares give him this? But, oh well, that's your problem, not mine. I was thinking of probably more the other end than this end, but okay, anyhow, so give me, his name is Ivan. Features. 5 foot 6, okay. And this is the guy that makes you feel good. What color hair does he have? Color of hair. This is the guy that makes you feel good. What's his weight? What does this guy weigh? He's 5'6". What would he weigh? He's the guy that makes you feel good. $165? He's got an accent. No, he's got a character. There's something about him. You know, this is the one that makes you feel good. So what character trait does he have? Did I hear something? Character trait. Positive. He's got an accent. What's his accent gonna be, Jared? What accent does this guy have? Makes you feel good. Somebody have an accent, or he just doesn't have one. He's normal. Let's just give him a normal accent, and you can put your own description into that. Clothing. Just tell me what kind of clothing he'll wear. This guy that makes you feel good. He can't wear a suit and tie because usually they're far apart. Clothing. And you know what, that just really brings out to us how different we are, you know? Like, we just put something down here, but I'm just trying to, because when I think about somebody that makes me feel good, I don't know if coveralls was just something that came off the top of your mind, but everybody will have different things. What vehicle does he drive? Toyota. What kind of Toyota? Model? Tundra. Okay, one thing I wanted to do also is, what color is this Hummer, Ron? And Rainel, what color is your Toyota? Dan. Okay. There's one thing I'm not going to put down, but you can put that down in your mind. What church does he go to? You put that down in your own mind. Okay. You're back in the back of the church here, and you're welcoming the people coming in, and here comes Bob, here comes Ivan. Those are very real things in our lives, right? Or we're having a conversation about something. Let's take Gary here. We're having a conversation with Gary. And he keeps swaggering around. And he just reminds me of this Bob guy, this Bob guy. Or he's just so positive. And how do we, I guess I just wanted to have our thoughts go to, how do we relate to that when we think of James, where it says, okay, brothers, if you're going to have faith in Jesus, don't show partiality. If you're going to walk a walk of faith, don't let these experiences shape our lives and the way we're going to treat an individual. And they taint my life. Maybe they don't yours, but they do mine. I let some of those experiences affect me. But I had mentioned last Sunday that we were going to have this. So I'd like to have a little bit of thought, a couple thoughts from just the group here as far as does anybody have any scripture verse or anything why we should avoid partiality or about partiality? Very true. It is not of Christ. Mm-hmm. What was your thought on that? And he did not show any partiality. Very true. God is, and that's why God gives us so much hope. Like Ron shared, when we see somebody reaching out in faith to God, and God just simply blesses him. Now, that's just how he is. If we reach out to him, he blesses you. He doesn't care what your background is or what. He just simply is looking for a heart of faith. But as we look at this and as we experience things in life like this, what do we need to do if we see that this is really affecting our life? Or that this one is really affecting our life as we relate to other people? What are things that we need to change? Everybody I meet gets sifted through this guy that has hurt me. What do I need to change so I don't do that anymore? Or every time I meet somebody, I think, is this kind of guy going to make me feel good? Like, what can I get out of this? What are things we need to change? I had a couple scriptures here. Maybe we can have a couple different volunteers. Somebody volunteer to read a scripture. Ron, do you want to read Mark 11, verse 25? Another one. Reynold, Jude 1:16. And another volunteer. Joseph, you can read John 5, verse 44. And just thinking about, like, giving us direction how to overcome relating this way. Ron, you can read Mark 11, 25.
In praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
I think that's really your key for getting over this Bob guy, right? Is to forgive him. Forgive him for the way he walks, forgive him for his suit and tie, for his red hair, and for the church he goes to, whatever. Just don't hold anything against him. Forgive him. Reynold, could you read Jude 1:16 there?
Mm-hmm. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak great, swelling words, having man's persons in admiration because of advantages.
That speaks of doing things and being things because of what we get out of it. Our ego booster. What we get out of this relationship, what we get out of that. Joseph, do you want to read John chapter 5, verse 44?
How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?
So basically he's saying, how are you going to actually walk a walk of faith if you receive, if this is what is motivating you? He's simply saying, you're going to have Christ being your all. Isn't that how we get over this one here, is having Christ king over our life? just simply Jesus, Lord of life. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Any thoughts on anything we've discussed so far this morning that you'd want to? Another subject I wanted to look at in relation to partiality is deception. Does being partial open us up for deception? If this guy has caused me pain, Bob has caused me pain, so basically anything he says or does, I don't want to hear about it, right? Or am I the only guy that sometimes feels like that? This guy here, he boosts my ego. Whatever he says goes. He could be completely off, but you know what? He's a good guy. Does partiality open us to deception? Reynolds thinks it does. Do you have any scripture or any thought on that?
The thing you were just saying about the guy that boosts me up, and you were saying that he is going the wrong track, but I'm taking whatever he's saying because he's the one, then lots and lots of scriptures against us. I just know there's lots of scripture against us because it does not what the Bible teach. We should have God as our final authority in our life, and from there on it can go to a broad subject. And then the other one, if let's say, just for an example, if this Ivan guy, he lists everything wrong and I have him as my hero, then I will tend to do all the wrong things. And now let's just put it over to the other side. If this other Bob, if he is doing the right thing, he is living godly, but he's the one that I reject, then I will tend to want to reject all the good, which is scriptural. Then I would be, inside of myself, I would have a very strong pull for negative and a very strong rejection or pushing away of good, just because I had the two men there to balance off my life off. So it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. So do we see, when we look at partiality, how important, if we're not going to be deceived, that we forgive and that we make Jesus all of our lives? You know, if we don't do that, we are going to be deceived, or we are deceived. And that's, I had to do a lot of deep thinking this week. This isn't really where I planned on going when I said it last Sunday, but that is really what we're looking at. I had a couple verses here on deception that I thought I'd want to. Gary, I noticed you were paging through your Bible. Did you have anything to share? Did you have any thought?
Yeah, I was just thinking of in my life when I, what you're describing, I think it's pride. I think it's pride. If I have the prime minister on one side of me and somebody that's really what I would think is low down, so to speak, why can't I talk to them both in the same manner? I mean, I might look up to certain men, and I maybe am intimidated, and which is pride. And we could use maybe, I don't know what word we'd use for the man that's causes us pain, I guess. I had to think of, there's a verse here, better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And I sometimes I see people that use everyone the same, or what I would think anyway in that way, and I think that's of a great price. It's humility. I think the bottom line of this is pride. When we really know Jesus, when we really want to know Christ, and it dissipates, I think.
Very true. If we don't need to have our ego boosted, and Jesus is complete Lord of our life, we are not proud. We would have no reason to be. Thanks. I have two verses here I'd like to have somebody share. I need a couple volunteers for this. I'll maybe just pick them. Dwight, would you want to share Matthew 22, verse 16? Randy, I have you share 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. And as we look at this, the first one that Dwight will be sharing is just simply how Jesus related, and I'd say let's look at that as an example.
Matthew 22:16.
Yeah.
And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God and in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men.
And you can see there just by what Dwight read there that Jesus, as he went about teaching and doing his ministry, he did what was right. He was not swayed by person's appearance or by the way he related. And that's a wonderful example to look to. And if we do that and we walk in that way, I don't think we need to worry about deception. Randy, do you want to 2 Thessalonians 2:9? 2:9?
2 Thessalonians 2:9?
Actually, chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. Sorry about that.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
That actually would indicate that if we do not love the truth, God's actually going to give us over to an illusion, that we will believe and lie. And that's, I think with those verses and contemplating upon pain and what makes us feel good, I think that's a good warning to us that, you know what, we really need to, we don't want to be deceived. We really need to guard our hearts against this. Anybody have any thoughts on that, just on the section of deception on partiality? There was another thing I would like to look at, and is partiality. If I do one or the other, if I do that to these guys, what are you tempted to do if I relate to these guys in a partial way? What is a fainting or a carnal heart? What is their tendency as they see partiality being displayed? Could somebody read Genesis 37, 1 through 4? Gary, do you want to read Genesis 37, verse 1 through 4? And this is a this is an example of somebody that lived a life showing partiality. I'm not saying that his brothers were Christian or godly. Obviously, it doesn't look like it, but how did it affect their lives? Gary, if you want to just read that.
Genesis 37, 1 through 4. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock when his brethren and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him.
Thanks, Gary. Has anybody ever felt that within their own heart? When you saw somebody relating to Bob, like everything he did was wrong. Or to this Ivan guy, everything he did was right. That is something within you just welled up and said, you know what, I just don't want to have anything to do with Bob or with the guy that's relating. That's a carnal heart or a fainting heart. But there is a danger of that happening. And I just thought, let's look at that this morning too. That as we display partiality to one another, that can also be a stumbling block, a hindrance to others. Not that it justifies it, but that is a truth. Then this morning, and you know, I know in the past I've often related this way, that you know, God puts us through tests, and you know, maybe just it's each one's battle. You kind of step back, and you know what? If they're truly grounded in the Lord, they're going to make it, and if they aren't, they won't. I've had very much that mentality, I think. This morning, I wasn't even thinking about this Bible verse. I heard this scripture in Proverbs 24:10, and I thought I would just read this out. So it said, we cannot wash our hands like that. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's true, and how many of us have had very, very small strength? But then it says, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. Then he asks, if you say, behold, we did not know this, does he not weigh the hearts? Does he who weighs the hearts not perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? It says, you know, we can't just say, that guy gets offended by my partiality. That's his problem. Let's walk wisely. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? I have a couple more scripture verses here that maybe have some more volunteers to read off on favoritism and on partiality. Volunteers, Edward. Acts 10, verse 34. Can I have Derek? Can I have you read Romans 2, verse 1 through 11? And Edward, as he reads here, it's just Peter, he's all of a sudden going to discover God, he doesn't show any favoritism. Go ahead and read it.
I'm sorry, Acts 10.
Acts 10, verse 34.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
you want to actually read 35 to yet. That only completes it.
But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.
Peter clued in on that. That was exciting. That's the God we serve. Derek?
Romans 2, 1 to 11. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest does the same things, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they get indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God.
Amen. There is no respecter of persons with God. Do you know why? How could God forgive if he is love? He couldn't do it. I mean, as far as there's nothing to forgive, he's just love. He doesn't hold like, that's not how God relates. He's love. Over here, who's he going to look up to? He's God. So why would he show partiality? It doesn't even fit in with God to show partiality, because he is God. And just simply thinking of a conclusion, we go back to James there. James 3, maybe. Verse 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, bitter jealousy or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason. Open to reason. Deception. Full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Just going back to verse 2 again, chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers, show no partiality. And then I just put down, you know what God's really saying? Just walk in freedom. As you have your faith to God, as you walk your walk of faith, just walk in freedom. That's kind of what I had put together for a Bible study, but anybody else have any more thoughts or your journey in life? Do you have a testimony? Do you have something you'd want to share in your journey with partiality? It's a very real thing for me. And every day, we make decisions down to the Hummer with a bumblebee that's bright yellow. A Hummer with a bumblebee yellow. We make decisions in life that, you might say, that small, based on something we don't like or something we like that pumps our ego. And let's look at that, and let's let God do a work of grace in our lives. Anybody have any thoughts? If not, we'll leave it at that. Maybe somebody, I was looking at the songbook this morning. I don't know if you have a song there, maybe. Is a song that Jesus Christ is all I need, wisdom, righteousness, and power, is that in the books? I couldn't find it this morning, but I thought that would be one good song to sing. But Derek, if you want to maybe just come forward with a couple songs, that would be good. And thanks, everybody, for your input this morning.